Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We love you this morning. Do you love him?
Yes.
Praise God. Do you love the Lord this morning?
Yes, I love you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And as always, Lord, we pray that the entrance of your word today will give light into our lives and let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise team, thank you. You may be seated as well. So I'm going to try to go through this quickly. You have to stay with me. But I will do a recap of sorts. It's part of the message. I am not entirely done with the transformation series. Might be a while, you know, but, you know, I'm going to continue that today. When we take a break from that, I'll let you know. But there is something that the Lord put in my heart to do this year. And that's the word that he gave me at the beginning of the year and said, fear not, I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. Amen. So the shield part is that he is going to continue to protect us from the pandemic and all of that stuff that's going on out there. Amen. But the exceeding great reward is what led to this series. Well, praise God. Today, Transformation Series Part 3. In God's image, after his likeness. Now that's in God's image after his likeness. But we're going to do a quick review first of what we have covered in the series so far. Praise the Lord. So in the first part, we talked about, you know, how God created, and I'm going to be talking about that a little bit today, Adam in his image and likeness and so forth. He had the glory of God. Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. And we know that by the disobedience of one man, see, death passed upon all. You know, so how do we get back to where, you know, where it was before all of that happened? And we know there was one man called Enoch in all the generations of Adam and so forth. You know, the ones that came before him, before Enoch, they heard all of the stories of Adam, but it didn't impact them. And I want to remind you this, that the only thing that is going to impact your life is what you hear directly from God. That's it. Now, a preacher such as myself may stand up here and preaching, but unless you hear it directly from God as I'm preaching it, it's not going to impact your life. You're just going to say, oh, what a wonderful message. And then you go away, and then next week, oh, what a wonderful message. It's not going to make any real impact. So my prayer today is that you hear from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when Enoch heard the story, and he said, you mean a man can have dominion like that? A man can do all of those, and you had understanding, you had knowledge. I mean, you could talk to the animals. You could do everything. You understood all of that. And he said, yeah. He said, I want that. I'm going back in there. And Adam said, no, you can't. The door is shut. The seraphims, the cherubims, they have the flaming sword. That you can't go in there. And Enoch said, well, I need to get in there or I'm going to die trying. And I want to read quickly. If you turn with me to, the story of Enoch is actually wonderful. And I want to, before I go too far into this message today, you know, I want us to take a quick look at Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. So let's take a quick look at Enoch. Well, let me start from verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah for 300 years. This man walked with God for 300 years. And somebody say 300 years? That's right. It wasn't one day. He walked with God for 300 years. And while he was doing that, he was still having children and stuff still going around him. So having children and so forth doesn't prevent you from walking with God. This man walked with God. He begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365. Remember, 65 years before he got Methuselah. And when something happened around the time of that Methuselah that, you know, transformed him, you know, maybe he decided, you know, he finally figured out, I got to get in there, you know, and so on. And 300 years, he was still walking with God. And he kept walking with God and kept pressing towards that until finally God took him. Amen. Amen. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. The message today, Transformation Series, Part 3. In God's image, after his likeness. Now remember in Genesis chapter 1 and verse, you know, when God began to, you know, talk about, you know, and I talked about this before, you know, when God, in Genesis chapter 1, God began to imagine various things and create them. He imagined something, he created it. Imagine something else, he created it. First day, second day, third day, and so on. And finally, after he imagined all that stuff, then on the sixth day, after creating some other things, finally God imagined himself. And when he imagined himself, he said this. Listen to this. Verse 26 of Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and so forth, the fowl of the air, over all cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing, you know. And I said, well, you know, some people thought God was tired. That's why he rested. I said, no, he was not tired, because the Bible says he's never weary, nor does he slumber, you know. So, but he had reached the pinnacle of his creation, and he had reached the pinnacle of his imagine, if you imagine, if when God imagined himself, you can't imagine anymore after that. Amen. So he created man in his likeness. Now let me explain something here in Genesis 1:26. Some people get confused with this just because the Bible says, God said, let us make man. And they say, what does that us mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. You know, here's what it means. God was talking to his son, because his son is the only one that has his likeness. He was not talking to angels. Angels are not in the likeness of God. And he was not talking to three other gods or two other gods, but he was talking to his son. Turn with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 1. And let's read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, let's read from verse 1. He says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners speak unto the fathers, you know, by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now notice verse 3. Who, he's talking about the son of God, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So we see that Christ was the one that had the image of God. Now remember, you say, well, why was he talking to Christ? Well, because the Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the world even began. God already knew everything he was going to do. He already knew he was going to send his son forth. And in the book of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we are told that this same Jesus who came later, who was to be governor over Israel, his goings forth have been from of gold. Amen. Yes, that's Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Whose going forth have been from of old. That's right. You know. So don't think that he just set up shop when Mary got pregnant. No. He had been of old. You know. So why is it important? Why did I have to bring that point out? Because God also wanted Adam to continue in his image and after his likeness. But he couldn't do it. Now, he did it for a while, until disobedience came in. See, he did it for a while. You know, now, let's go back to Genesis 1 and 27. There are two things that must be prerequisite to getting that dominion. In Genesis 1 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image. He looked at the sun. He had the perfect brightness and the perfect image of God. And our likeness. You know, our likeness. So Genesis 1, 26. You know, and he said, let them have dominion. So I want you to know that dominion cannot come, and we cannot have dominion unless we are in his image and his likeness. So that's the first thing he said. Let's make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. You know, now we want dominion, but we don't want to be in his image and we don't want to be in his likeness. It's not going to happen. You know, to be in a place of dominion, we have to be in his image and in his likeness. Can somebody say amen? Now, we're going to talk about what the image and likeness of God means, but I want to put that out there. You know, that's what God wanted. You know, and God wanted Adam to continue in that light. Now, Adam was completely light once God breathed into him and he became a living soul. That breath of God that came into him carried the light, carried the eternal essence of God. And he carried, you know, complete package from God. But through disobedience, but he had to be tested. Because the Bible says that God tests every son whom he receives. So Adam was the son of God. You know, Luke 3:38 tells us that. A different kind of son. I told you one time that God had three sons, three kinds of sons. There was the created son, which was Adam, in Luke 3:38. There is the begotten son, which of course is Christ, and all of us are his adopted sons. So he wanted Adam to continue in his image and his likeness. God would reproduce himself in man, and that's how they would have dominion. This is what God imagined, you know. And Adam did it for a while. Whatever Adam said to the animals, they obeyed, you know. And Adam walked with God in the garden for a while, and he had that dominion. The glory of God, which he fell from in Romans 3:23. There was a glory around him. When the glory was around him, and when he was in the light, he didn't know that he was naked. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He didn't know he was naked. And God visited with him and walked with him. Hallelujah. Now, after the sin and the fall, the glory of God departed from him. There is something about that glory. And he gave him dominion. All the animals and everything. He came to Adam. He called them whatever he wanted. He did whatever he said. And that was it. Praise God. Now, how do we get back to what Adam lost? Now, here's what, unfortunately, in Genesis chapter 5, let's read verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Unfortunately, here's what happened. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God made him in the likeness of God made he him. So we know that. But did he continue in the likeness of God? No. Let's see verse 2. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. So, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that he created them. Verse 3. And here's what happened. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Not exactly in the likeness of God. Not exactly in the likeness and image of God. Because the fall already came. See? And that's where the light dropped. Adam was in the light, see, but now death began to creep in. Now remember, God said that in the day that you disobey and eat of that, you will die. And they died, really. You know, it's kind of like Jesus said to the tree, no man eat of you afterwards from now. And they went away, looked like nothing happened, but he died. And then when they came back the next day, they said, oh, that tree is died. That's right. You know, so he died exactly that day. But the light of God, the residual light that was in him that had passed on, a little bit of it continued for some time before it finally faded away. And none of them got to live to 1,000 years. God probably intended that after 1,000 years, Adam would have brought everything under alignment. You know, and but they didn't do it. So, but God already knew. So he planned for, you know, the Son of God to come and so on. Now, I want to talk a little more about in his image and his likeness. You know, when Adam lost this dominion, somebody else said, I'm going to have it. That was Enoch. And Enoch in chapter Genesis, I mean, we've already read about Enoch. So we see how, you know, somebody can chase after God. He chased after God. Enoch chased after God. And he wanted it. And so he had it, you know, and he walked with God. Now, there is a kind of walk with God that leads into something. And we're going to talk about this. There's a kind of walk with God that leads into something. It gets into that image and likeness. It gets into a lot of things, you know. So we know that Enoch walked with God. What people don't know was there was another man also that walked with God, and he also had dominion. Now that's in Genesis. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, we're told about Noah, a man who was also perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. Noah was also a man that walked with God. Amen. It says right here, the last part of that verse, he walked with God. Now, Noah didn't quite get to the extent that Enoch got to, but he did walk with God. And the walk that he had with God also gave him dominion. And somebody say amen. He had dominion over all the animals. Read the story. I don't have time to read it. He called all the animals. By that time, the animals were already wild. Remember, God didn't create any wild animals. It was when the glory departed from Adam. That's when they became wild, because they could no longer sense that substance from him. You know, there was a substance that was around him. He didn't have to say anything, but that substance that was on him brought everything to subjection. But when he lost that substance, they became wild. God didn't create wild animals, but then they became wild. But Noah, he had this kind of dominion, and he called all the animals, lion, tiger, cheetah, hyena, with the deer, with the rabbit. The lion did not even look at the rabbit. He just told the lion, sit down over there. Hallelujah. And go to bed. Wake up, eat. Go back in your corner. That's it. You know, all those kinds of animals. He had that dominion because he walked with God. Now, there's something about this walking with God. But well, throughout this series, we'll be going back and referring to it for a man that actually did it for 300 years. That's Enoch. Now, let's talk a little more about this dominion. How do we get back into such a place? Now, somewhere in this series, I will be talking about the manifestation of the sons of God, somewhere in this series. You know, and people talk about that all the time. But I want to tell you something today, just briefly about that. You know, that what people think about when they're thinking of the manifestation of the sons of God, usually, most people, some of the people that I've talked to, they're talking about miracles and power and different things that they're going to do and so on. Now, let me tell you a story. There was a story in the book of Matthew chapter 3 and so on. When Jesus, I don't have time to read it, so I'll just tell you the story. When Jesus went to John the Baptist to be baptized. How many of you know that story? So when he went into, and he was being baptized, there was a voice from heaven. The Holy Ghost descended upon him bodily. They saw it. And there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, as far as we know, Jesus had not done a single miracle, at least publicly. It was after that that he went to the wilderness to be tested. And then after he came back, you know, he went into his public ministry, you know. So, but before a single miracle, he got a commendation from God that this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, so if it is all by miracles and so on, then Jesus would not have got that commendation. Are you still with me? Because he hadn't done a single miracle. But it was because he was in the image and the likeness of God. He was already in the image and likeness of God. And this was something that pleases God. To be in his image and to be in his likeness is what makes God well pleased. Folks, that's it. And when we get back into the image and likeness of God, God will be well pleased. Amen. God will say, have you seen my beloved son and my daughter over there? In whom I am well pleased. Because you are in his image and you are in his likeness. Now, let's get back to this. I want to talk about the process of how we get there. Last time I showed the symbolism of the temple and we talked about it. And I want to talk about it again a little bit today. There is a process of how we get there. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature and so forth. Also, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are created as a new workmanship in Christ. So there is a new creation that happens when we come into Christ. But it doesn't, getting fully back into that image doesn't happen overnight. You know, getting to that, remember we talked about the destination being the most holy place. You know, it took Enoch 300 years, you know, of walking with God. And don't think you're going to do it overnight. Galatians 4 verse 19. Can you put that up? Galatians 4 and verse 19. Here's what Paul said to these folks, these Christians. They were believers. They were not unbelievers. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, I'm constantly travailing, waiting for Christ to be formed in you. Christ to be formed in them. They're already believers. But Christ was not yet fully formed in them. There is a place of bridal intimacy with Christ. There's a place of union with Christ. Now, that's the most holy place that we talked about last night. I didn't get a lot of time to get into there, but I'm going to talk about it some more today. Now, if you remember the temple symbolism that we showed, the profane place is for unbelievers. They're not even there. They're not even counted in the court. But when you cross from the profane place by faith in Christ for salvation, you come into the outer court. In the outer court is where, when you receive salvation, you believe the Lord, you start going to Bible study, you start reading the Bible, you start believing God, you start doing all these things and so forth. And you start reading the Word of God. Amen. And there is a measure of Christ that you can attain at that level. It's called 30-fold or 30%. Jesus said, well, you know, this good fruit goes to 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. I'm going to be talking about that 30%, 60%, and 100%. In that outer court, the maximum that we can attain there is probably 30%. Now, you got to move from there to the holy place. The holy place is where consecration starts. That's where God begins to deal with your flesh in collaboration with you. Because the Bible says, mortify your members, kill your flesh. You kill your flesh. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. When the Holy Spirit comes in that holy place, that's when you have consecration. That's where you have the Holy Ghost baptism. That's when the fruit of the Spirit begins to burst forth. You begin to have revelation. The Word of God begins to take even greater fold. I mean, God begins to show you greater things and so forth. But in that place, people are still struggling with the flesh. You know, just like in the outer court, they're struggling with flesh. They're struggling with flesh. There's a lot of Holy Ghost filled people today that are still struggling and walking in the flesh. They speak unadvisedly with their mouth. They fly up on the hand, off the handle. They get angry on their spouse. They say all kinds of nasty things and so forth. Yet, they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. God wants to kill that flesh in preparation for the most holy place. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, folks. Flesh and blood is not going to that most holy place. Flesh must be killed. We have to kill that flesh. Now, God hates the flesh. And your flesh hates God. My flesh hates God. That's why I said last time that, look, when you are beginning to get into that place of concentrating on Christ, your flesh will start telling you other things. Oh, I got to go read the Bible. I got to go do this. I got to go call this person. Because flesh hates the presence of God. It cannot stay in the presence of God. Let me tell you something again about flesh. People can plan crusades. People can plan church services. I mean, people can do all kinds of things. Let me tell you about the apostles. The apostles, they had great things. Two by two, they went. They did marvelous things. They came and told Jesus, "My demons and everything, bow down to us." I mean, they can do anything. They can prepare the upper room. They can go and get the donkey ready. They can do all these things. Even do evangelism and all kinds of things. But pray with me for 1 hour. Watch with me for 1 hour in the garden. They can't do it, folks. He took the best of them. Peter, James, and John. These were the inner circle. And they could not watch with him for 1 hour. Flesh cannot stay in his presence. And Jesus had to go back. It took him 3 times as long as it would have taken him. If they would have cooperated, he probably would have got it done in 1 hour. Came back the first time, they were still sleeping. You are still sleeping? He went again, came back. You are still sleeping? He went again, came back. Finally said, fine. Sleep on now. Sleep on now. But beware now. Because if you sleep, the hour of temptation is coming. You know? That's how it works. You know, flesh. We can do all these things. We can organize. We can plan. We can travel. In fact, you know, forget the fact that we have COVID and so forth. If there wasn't COVID, people would be traveling for crusades. And so. I myself, I was going to the Philippines before this thing. You know, I had an event there, you know, April last year, which I had to cancel. Everything was already planned, you know, and all that. We can do all of that. We can plan all those things and do all those great things. But stay in his presence for 1 hour. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 and verse 10. To be still in his presence for 1 hour, flesh cannot do it. And you have to practice it. I myself have to practice it. Can you say amen? Amen. You have to practice. When you get into that place, folks, that's the place where you are not coming with prayer points. There's no prayer point. Because I am that exceeding great reward. Not that God will do this for me. Father, do this, do this. In that place, we're not doing that. We're just focusing on him. You are just relishing and enjoying his presence. Now, even as I'm preaching this, your flesh doesn't like this message. Because this is not the kind of message for the flesh, you know. I can preach excitable messages like come out here and talk about great faith and great power and great prosperity and so forth. Flesh might like that one. But stay in his presence. Be still and know that I am God. Walk with God. You know, walk on that flesh. Kill that flesh and get back into the nature of Christ. And flesh doesn't like that one. Flesh doesn't like it. You know, if you want to know what God looks like, look at Christ. He was the express image of his person. Look at Christ. What would Christ do? You know, a lot of people say that. What would Christ do? And so on. Now, so in order for us to move, to get into that holy, most holy place, there is a transition. Now, in the outer court of the 30%, you can still make heaven. People can make heaven in the outer court. 60% they can make heaven as well. But the measure of Christ that you have on earth is limited. It's not that you're not going to go to heaven, but the measure of Christ that we have in the outer court. See, the light is too dim in the outer court. It's too far from the most. See, the most holy place is where that bright light is. That eternal Shekinah glory. But by the time you get to the outer court, the light is too dim. You got to get closer, folks. Amen. We have to get closer. Let me tell you another thing about that light. This is something you may not have thought about. But I've mentioned it before and I've spoken about it one time. There is a spectrum of life. On one side, there is death and darkness. On the other side, there is light and life. Now, the moment Adam did what God told him not to do, what he had before was just life and light. When he did what God told him not to do, death and darkness begin to creep in. Now remember, God did not eradicate darkness. After he created the light, he said, let the light be called day and let the darkness be called night. He left the darkness in place and even gave it a name. But he didn't say, let there be darkness no more. If he had said that, there would not be any darkness. Death comes because of darkness. See, darkness is what gives time. The evening and the morning were the first day. So that's the measure of time. Because light is there, and after a while darkness comes, then you measure time. See, when that goes away, in the new heavens, the Bible says there shall be no night there. Amen. There will be no night. There's no measure of time anymore. That's why you can live forever. Because there is no measure of time. But let me bring it back to what I want. I just wanted to explain that. But this light, when you get into that perfect place of brighter communion and perfect union with God in that most holy place, Deuteronomy 12 verse 5 says, the place that I have chosen to put my name there, that's where I will meet with you. There is a place where he will meet with us. Put up that scripture, Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5. The place that I will meet with you is that place that I have chosen to put my name there. That's where he will meet with you. Now, when you begin to walk towards God, here's what happens. This is what happened to Enoch. Enoch also had a measure of the likeness of Adam. He also had a measure of darkness and death, but he had a measure of light and life. And the rate at which light, see, now remember, in the book of John chapter 1, it says Jesus is the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. The light that is in you, that light must continue to grow. And if it can grow faster than the rate at which death and darkness is growing, now everybody has a little bit of that death and darkness, you know, except God. First John chapter 1 verse 5. This is the first epistle, not the gospel. First epistle, John 1 5 says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, but we still have to deal with that darkness, and darkness is what brings death. When you begin to get, if the rate and the measure of Christ in you, which is the light, if it can increase exponentially faster than the rate of life and death, you go into that light. It's just that simple. Now, this may be a little too profound, but I can't say it any other way. That's just the way it is. And when you get into that place, one of two things will happen. You will either be translated like Enoch, or you continue to live forever. It's one of two things. Death cannot get somebody who is in that realm. Can't do it. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus said, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. Amen. How many of you know that? And he even tried to transfer the light to his disciples. Look, you also are the light of the world. You know, be like me and so on. You know, well, sometimes they tried, sometimes they didn't. You know, the consciousness of sin did not make them fully appreciate what Christ was doing. But I tell you about Christ. Christ never went in and out of that light. He never went in and out of that glory. He was always there. In that realm, he could not die. Death could not get in. It was impossible. Just like Enoch. See? But it was in the predeterminate counsel of God that Christ had to die. Hello? So put up Matthew chapter 27. Let's start from verse 45. You have to go with me quickly in the back there. Now, from the sixth hour, this is when Christ was about to be crucified. Here's something unique that happened. From the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. Now, Jesus said, I am the light of this world. Now, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He groaned in his spirit. Why hast thou forsaken me, O God? Did you know that God forsook him? Did you know that? The light had to depart from him because God put upon him all the sins of this world. And for a moment, that light departed from him. That's why there was darkness 3 hours. Darkness all over the place. And people say, wow, this had to be the Son of God. Darkness. In that moment, the light separated from him and death got him. Now, death could not have got him until that light departed from him. And Jesus said, why has thou forsaken me? When Jesus was crying in the garden, lamenting, and blood was coming out of his forehead when he was praying, you think he was afraid of physical death? No. He was afraid of becoming darkness. Because God had to make him darkness for a minute because of you. When he put all the sins of the world, he said, Christ who knew no sin, he became sin for us. In that moment, darkness was upon him. God had to depart. That's right. God already knew all of that. So you can't kill God. So that's why God, in the beginning, he already knew he had to bring his son in his image, who will die. God will be separated from him for a minute, but then he will be reunited with the Father. Hallelujah. It was a great thing that Christ did for us. Now, chew on that for a minute. And chew on that when you get out of here as well. When you are in that place of that brighter communion, that full image and likeness with Christ, it's not a confession, folks. It's not confessing that, well, I'm going to rapture, I'm not going to die. It's a reality in that realm. It's not a confession. You have been confessing. It's not a confession. We grow into that reality. The Bible says, grow into him. Throughout the epistles, they were praying, like Colossians chapter 1. They were praying that you may be filled with the knowledge of God, that you may be filled and have, you know, walk with God unto all pleasing and so on. All of these things were in God. Let me tell you something else about growing in his stature, into the image of Christ. So this is something that everybody can understand. Maybe the other one was too deep. But let's talk about something everybody can understand. Everybody understands how a little child, when they are born, right? Little child. Every one of us was a little child at one time. And many of us have raised children. A little child, when they start growing up, when they are from the time they are born, sometimes they get into, you know, the toddler stage and all that. All that time, they have to deal with diapers, wetting their bed, and all of these things. But there is a measure of stature that they grow into that thing just doesn't happen anymore. You know, when they are little, your parents will have to tell them, well, when they are trying to teach them, you know, how not to wet their beds, maybe the parents will make them not drink water towards, you know, evening time and so on. But there is a point that they get to in their life, they can drink 10 gallons of water, they are still not going to wet their bed. Because they have grown out of it. The stature has grown. There is a measure of the stature of Christ that we must grow into. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about it. It's called the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, right now, some of us are operating at 30%. Majority of us are operating at 60%. It's going to take us some time to get to that 100%. But don't give up. Amen. We must keep walking towards that 100%. There is a measure of the stature of Christ in which certain elements of the flesh are not even there. It's not that you are thinking about it. It's not there anymore. Praise God. It's like the baby who has grown out of it. And you begin to grow in Christ. As your stature begins to grow, see, those chains of sin begin to snap off and break off. That's why he says, you know, in Isaiah chapter 52, and he says, you know, he says, look, verse 2. Loose thyself from the bands around thy neck. Hallelujah. When you grow in stature, I said this last time, I said, look, you grow in stature. You know, the young kids who watch the Incredible Hulk and so forth, you grow in stature, those garments begin to break off. You just grow. You grow in stature of Christ, the garment of sin begins to snap off. Begin to snap off. But it takes a lot of work. The work happens in the holy place. We're in the holy place right now. We're doing that work. We must kill that flesh. And the next time you are in prayer and trying to be still in his presence, and your flesh tells you, you got to get up and go and drink coffee or take a look at your WhatsApp, tell the flesh to die. Hallelujah. Die. Be still and know that I am God. You cannot know until you are still. When you're running around, like Martha was running around and everything, Mary wanted to be still. And you know, one time Jesus said to Martha, you are so encumbered with so many things. Because she came to Jesus and said, look, Lord, why am I running around preparing the food and everything and so on? And Martha is just sitting at your foot here. Tell my sister to help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are so encumbered with all this running around. But Mary has chosen that which is needful. Sit right there. Be still in his presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it's something we got to practice. I'm practicing it myself. But I tell you what, it's something that we have to get back to. In order to have that full dominion, and we're coming into that in perhaps the next time, on the next continuation of this, we're coming into what that full dominion looks like. And we're coming into what the manifestation of the sons of God look like. But this is a precursor to help us understand this thing. God cannot give you dominion, folks, when you are not in his image and after his likeness. Dominion is more than authority. Dominion is you are in charge. Do as you like. Hallelujah. Authority is, look, Jesus gave them authority against unclean spirits. And he gave them authority a little bit here, a little bit there. Dominion is not like that. Dominion is you are in charge. You do whatever you want. Whatever you say goes. Well, the flesh cannot handle that. If God puts some of us in dominion, we'll be doing crazy things. Kill your enemies. Do all of these things is what you'll be doing. Okay? If God puts you in dominion, the first thing you're going to remember is that enemy that did you this on your job. Kill that one. Kill the other one. Kill this one. Kill that one. No. Praise God. So we have to kill this flesh. You have to pummel it. This is one of the things we do during consecration, folks. You say, what is consecration? Let me tell you what consecration is. Consecration is your name is Elijah and you have to wear camel's skin inside out, the rough skin on your back all your life. Consecration is you're a prophet and you have to lie on your side 390 days. Consecration is you have to walk naked as a prophet and so forth. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these people did these things. That's consecration. Consecration means I embrace, I must obey Christ till the point that I embrace the sufferings that come as a result of that obedience. Amen. Amen? That's consecration. Now, if John the Baptist appeared here today wearing camel skin like Elijah, many of us will be casting the devil out of him because he's dressed rough and he looks ugly. Cast the devil out of him. Or don't even let him into our consecration. I mean, into our service. Praise God. But who tells you that God can't choose to do that? Consecration, a place of consecration, is you embrace Christ fully. We're not looking for sufferings, but we embrace whatever sufferings comes out of it. We're looking for obedience. Amen. Christ was fully obedient to the Spirit. That's why he got that commendation before he even did any miracles. We must get to that point. Amen. Amen, folks. I'm going to round up here and I'm going to tell us one or two more things. Now you say, but who then can achieve this? This is just too hard. Well, it starts by practicing. You practice his presence. Amen. You practice doing things like him. You know, we're all in the holy place now. We've got the Holy Spirit. He can help us. You know, we practice. We practice. We practice. And then when he tells you something, you do it. Obedience. When your obedience is fulfilled, see, then he begins to move you further. If you get into that place where Christ was, that's the place where you're not praying for God to take away the storm. In that place, you are sleeping through the storm. Hallelujah. Difference between Jesus and the disciples. Jesus was in that place. And he said, let us go to the other side. And let us go to the other side. The word that he spoke will sustain itself. Doesn't matter whether there is storm. Doesn't matter whether the boat is about to crash. He already said, let us go to the other side. And in him, he has peace. Hallelujah. He's in a place of union with the Father. He said in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. And that's why they took up stones to kill him. Jesus said again in John chapter 8 and verse 42, I came forth and proceeded out of God. Now, why do I bring these two verses as we're about to close? Well, since Christ is the one that we have to look at, we need to figure out a way that we also can be in union with the Father. To be in union with the Father, you need to be in union with Christ. Came forth and proceeded. I came not out of myself. He came out of God. See? And we believe that we must return to that place. That's how you do it. In that place of brighter intimacy with God, you are not praying that he would solve your problems. You are only, what you want there is God himself. Amen. Praise God. When you are in that place with him, there is nothing that is important. Not even what God himself can offer you. Even what God can offer, your next new car. Your next new house. All good and perfect gifts come from God. God can offer you all those things. But all those things, when you are in his presence, they pale. You don't even think about that. You don't think about that anymore. It's not about give me my next rent, give me my next car, give me my next house and so forth. It's about, I want more of you, Lord. I want God. I want God. God wants us to be united with him. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Now, this is a consecration message. And it's timely because this was our consecration weekend. For us to get back into that place of consecration. If you're out there and you haven't given your life to Christ, well, you have to start the journey. It's a long journey, folks. It took Enoch 300 years. It's a long journey. But you have to start somewhere. Amen. You start, but don't stop. Some people even said a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. Well, take the step to come into Christ. By faith through salvation, you come in and you are entered into that outer court. But you can choose to stay there and not proceed. You can stay there and not proceed. It's like Ezekiel's vision with the water. The water can be at your ankles or to the knees or to the belt, or water that cannot be, you know, crossed over and so on. So which one? Are you going to stay there? No, but move. The Bible says we must grow in Christ. We must grow in Christ. Praise God. We must grow in Christ. So as we are going to pray, I'm going to read this prayer point that we are going to pray about. Now, this is the new creation prayer point. This is not the old creation prayer point of, you know, Lord, give me this and give me the other thing and so forth. This is a new creation prayer. So let's read it. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. For this cause, verse 9, Paul said, since the day we heard of your faith, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember, Ephesians chapter 4, you can read it, you know, from verses 11 to 13. The height of that thing is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We must keep increasing. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering, and so forth with joyfulness. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and let's pray. And when we talk about the manifestation of the sons of God, you don't want to miss it. It might change your perspective on a lot of things. But let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray with me. Lord, I pray. Give me understanding of the purpose of God in my life. Why I'm here. Help me to grow into that image and into that likeness of Christ. Because that's how God created and what he intended for us. But we fell because of disobedience. Through one man's disobedience, the Bible says, death passed on to all. But through one man's obedience, which is Christ, righteousness and life comes back to all of us. And Father, Lord, help us to grab a hold of that life and that light. The Bible says, walk in the light. If you walk after me, Jesus said, you will be in the light. You will not walk in darkness. You will be in the light. We have to walk in the light. All these other things, God, we add unto you. But you must seek him first. Seek God first. I want God must be our prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us practice right now. I want everybody to be still. No music. Nothing. No singing. Just practice. Be still and know that I am God. Did you know that if I hold you in this state for 10 minutes, people will start looking at their watch? Be still and know that I am God. You can whisper words of adoration in your mind to him, but that's all. Don't think about anything else. The aspect of him that he reveals, the aspect of himself that he reveals to you when you are in that quiet place. And you begin to worship that aspect of him. you become that aspect. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, that we might become in the image and in the likeness of God. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. And as we await the coming of the Lord, we are saved already, even if we're in the outer court. We are saved and filled with the Spirit, even in the holy place with the 60%. But why settle for 30 or 60 when you can have 100-fold? The measure of Christ that is in you could be 30% in the outer court, could be 60% in the holy place where God is preparing you for an experience. Or you could transform into that most holy place. That's what this series is all about, transformation. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. I want us to keep reminding ourselves that we are on a journey. It's not a journey necessarily of one day or 2 days. It's a lifetime journey. And we must keep, we're on the track. And we must stay on the track. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to stay on the track. So I'm going to read this, and I'd like us to sing this chorus just to remind us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but we all with open face, we are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image. From glory to glory. So it's a process, folks. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's a song that we sing like that. From glory to glory, He's changing me into the glory of God and the likeness of God and His Son. He's changing me. Let's sing that song. Somebody raise that song for me.
From glory to glory, He's changing me.
That changing transformation process.
Amen.
It was a lifetime for Enoch.
Yes.
took him 65 years first before he could recognize the need that he needed to get back in there. And once he got a hold of that, for the next 300 years of his life, he walked with God. Hallelujah. Let us be ready. We are on that track. We are on that process. And we must not stop. We must not relent. We must keep going. You can have all the things around you that are going on. We're not asking you to leave this world right away just because you want to walk with God. Enoch was here in this world and he walked with God. You can be going to school. You can be on your job. You can be doing whatever. But you can still be walking with God. You can be walking with God no matter what you are doing. Practice his presence. The next time that you are in your room trying to do something, whatever it is you are trying to do, no matter how minuscule, how many small it is, ask him what he thinks about that. Practice his presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next time you go to the store, practice his presence and say, "Hey Lord, how about this one?" Practice his presence. Walk with him. He's there with you all the time. When you are in the shower, practice his presence. When you are driving, practice. When you are on your job, practice his presence. And when you are in the church here, practice his presence. Don't be distracted. Praise God. Get rid of the distraction. Next time you get into, some people call it quiet time or whatever. I don't know what they call it. Next time you get in there, spend some time with him. Don't be distracted with anything. You know, don't pray for this and that. Just to be more like him. Just to be one with you. There's a song like that. I don't really know how to sing it. Just to be one with you. Just to be one with you. That's my desire. Just to be one with you, Lord. If that's your desire here this morning, wave your hands to him. Just to be one with you, Lord. Just to be one with you, Lord. Just to be one with you. Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the offering. Thank you for those that gave. We thank you because you have already given us. The Bible says he has given us already all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has blessed us already with all spiritual. We'll be talking about that sometime in this series. What it means, why he said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Why he didn't say he has blessed us with all material blessings. We'll be talking about that. And we'll be talking about how things must happen first in that realm before they happen here. You know. So he has already blessed us in heavenly places with all things. It's for us to enter into his blessings. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and give you glory. Now, as you go into this week, practice the presence of the Lord. And when your flesh wants to distract you, tell the flesh to die in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the grace of God to be enabled in us. You know, I believe it's in maybe 2 Peter 3:18 or something. He said, look, grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge. See, grow in the grace of, that's right, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And think about that thing that you just said. We say it all the time without thinking about it. Communion is a place of fellowship. Don't let your communion with him be broken. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And may we dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week ahead. Praise the Lord.